victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, we've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life, and we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Just sing that one more time. And we've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life, and we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with Jesus was the best thing I ever done. Falling in love again. Oh, falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with Jesus was the best thing I ever done. More time. And falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with Jesus, oh, falling in love with Jesus was the best thing I ever done. In his arms, oh, now in his arms I feel protected. Oh, in his arms, never disconnected. And in his arms I feel protected. There's no place I'd ever rather be. So we're falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with Jesus. We're falling in love with Jesus. Amen. Let's switch that key up to D, sister. Let's sing that song, Spread Your Wings. So spread your wings, little eagle, and fly. You weren't born for the valley, you were born for the sky. So don't let your trials get you down, or drive your spirit to the ground. Mount up with wings, little eagle, and fly. So spread your wings, valley, you were born for the sky. So don't let your trials get you down or drive your spirit to the ground. Mount up with wings, little eagle, and fly. Just sing that again and just believe it. Just spread your wings, little eagle, and fly. And you went born for the valley. Were born for the sky, so don't let your trials get you down or drive your spirit to the ground. Mount up with wings, little eagle, and fly. So don't let your trials, so don't let your trials get you down or drive your spirit to the ground. Mount up with wings, little eagle, and fly.
Amen. We just want to welcome you to the house of the Lord. How many of you are happy to be here this evening? Amen. Let's change the tempo up just a little bit here. Let's sing that song, Victory in Jesus, in F. So I was very happy to hear what Brother Chisholm preached about this morning, and this song just, it spoke to me during the service, so I figured we'd sing it this evening. So, oh, I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory. On Calvary to save a wretch like me, and I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood, and he loved me ere I knew him, and all my victory beneath the cleansing blood. And I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Bought me with his redeeming blood, and he loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, victory forever. bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Oh, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures I laid out somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, they're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. I fixed it up with Jesus many years ago. I know He'll see me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just over in the glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. The songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Amen. Just put your hands together. Amen. So, well, just to change the order of the service now, we have a request here. Before that, though, let's just sing that song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. So turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the leaves of earth will grow strange. His glory and grace. could just play that softly. We have a couple requests here that we want to remember. We want to remember Jonah Michael Cross, who is the new addition to the Cross family. It has been reported, though, that he has a high bilirubin level, and they are asking for that to come down as quickly as possible. And we also have another request here for Sister Christy. She is still in the hospital, and she's still not doing well, so we do want to remember her this evening. And just remember all the requests that were given this morning. We have many who are traveling as well. One who I know of is Brother Keith. He's having to travel up north, and I know that they are getting ready to experience some bad weather. He's going up there for some job training, so if you guys would just remember him as well. Brother Mark, if you would come and just lead us in prayer this evening.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we are thankful, Lord, to be in your house this evening, Lord. And as the song says, Lord, we turn our eyes upon you, Lord. Our thoughts, our hearts, our Lord, everything that we have within us, Lord, looking with expectation, Lord, for what you have for us today, Lord. We pray that you will bless each one, Lord, in your presence, those who are listening on the internet. And we pray that you will, Lord, bless us with your word, Lord. As your servant comes, we pray that you will, Lord, anoint him mightily, Lord, that you will speak, Father, and that we prepare our hearts to hear what you have for us this evening. Lord, there was many requests made this morning and tonight, Lord, and we bring them before you again, Lord, as we did this morning. And we pray, Lord, we just rehearse him because we know you know all our needs, Lord, and we just want to mention them to you again, Father. Not that you're forgetful, Lord, but you said to do that, Father. And we come, we pray for Brother Larry, Lord. We pray that you continue to touch our brother and strengthen him, Lord. And the Cross's baby, Lord, we pray you'll touch it, Lord, so it's Billy Rubin's level will be normal. We pray for, Lord, Sister Christy, Lord. We pray that you will help her, Father. And then Amber, too, Father, or mother, Father. We thank you, Lord, for all your goodness and your mercies to us, Lord, and your many blessings, Lord. Reveal your word to us tonight, Lord, so that it'll do us good. I know it will, Lord, if we listen and obey. Grant it, Father. We commit this service into your hands. Lord, you take control of everything, every song, everything that's done, Lord, and we give thee glory and praise. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may have your seats. We're going to try a new one here and see how it goes. Pull up that song, Who You Say I Am. Now, this one is a little different. So it just goes like this. Who am I that the highest king would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me to know his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free, always free. Child of God, yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me, his grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Oh, yes, he died for me. The sun sets free, oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Who the Son sets free, who is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Oh, I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, child of God. Yes, I am. Oh, in my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Amen. I'm so glad that there's a place for me. God's house. We have a special treat this evening. We have the kids choir that's going to come and sing for us here. So as they come, let's just sing that again, okay? Come on up, kids. You can come on up. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I kids. If you would just stand with me, we'll take the offering real quick. Brother Andy, if you would, just lead us.
Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, Lord, you are worthy of all praise, glory, and honor. We ask, Father, now that you bless this tithe and this offering, multiply it, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen. Let's actually sing that song, God Still Moves.
God still moves. Oh, God still moves in the hearts of His people. God still moves. He does not sleep. Does he slumber? God still moves. God still moves. Oh, God still moves. Oh, God still moves.
Brother Burley comes this evening. Let's just sing again.
God still moves. God still moves in the hearts of His people. God still moves. He does not.
Time, just sing it with all your heart.
Oh, God still moves. God still moves in the hearts moves. I believe that with all of my heart. Amen. Amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight?
Amen.
It's been a long time since we've been up this way, but by God's grace, we're here. It's good to have Brother Bobby and Sister Carol right up with us. Amen. God's been doing some wonderful things. Amen. The devil been doing a lot of things, but God been doing some wonderful things. That's what I believe. Amen. If I will, if we could just go ahead and get into the word. I'd like to turn to Acts chapter 12. And we want to
start at the fifth verse. This is a very familiar scripture. Acts 12, verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. You know, for them to do Peter like that, they knew this is just not just an ordinary man they're dealing with. They already got the brother bound with two chains. And he was sleeping between two soldiers, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. So they had him in some high security there. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said to him, "Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. You know, by Peter being able to see visions all the time, he didn't even know this was vision or reality. I believe Brother Branham even experienced some of those things. Sometimes just don't even know where he was at, because they're just used to being into supernatural things. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out, passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod." Isn't that something? It said that Peter came to himself. So all of these things that was happening to him, he was just moving, not really understanding what was going on. But then when he come to himself, he realized that God was doing something. And this read verse 11 again. And Peter was come to himself. He said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel, and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. I would like to, if the Lord would just help us for a moment here. We're not planning to keep you all night. But just for a little thought this morning, this evening, I would just like to speak on the devil's expectations, or either the expectation of the devil. Now, the word expectation, it means to act or state or expecting, the act or state or looking forward or anticipating, something expected, a thing look forward to. Amen. So we want to talk about the devil expectation. How many of you know the devil got expectations? He got them for you, and he got them for me. Satan is always expecting to do something. He's always expecting to stir something up, cause something to happen. And do you know why he do that? Because he's a devil. It's as simple as it can be put. That's why he do that. But I like to talk about, even though the devil got expectations, I like to see how God ruins the devil's expectations. Amen. So we just want to also, I just want to talk about deliverance also. Because whenever the devil got a trap set or something planned, something laid out, God always have a way of an escape, a way to deliver his people. And I believe that with all of my heart. You know, we talk about persecutions a lot and things that we go through in life. But I like what the prophet of God said. He said he wished churches was just like the old times. He said persecutions in the old churches, he said it did not weaken the church. He said persecutions strengthened the church. But we find in the time that we're living in, some in this day and hour, when pressure comes, it weakens them when it should be strengthening them. Amen. Because we're going to always have trials in life. Ain't nothing going to change that. Your trials in life will stop. You either raptured out of here or you die. That's when your trials stop. Until then, it's going to be trials and temptation. I mentioned one time to the church, when the very moment that you come out of your mother's womb, that's when the devil had made plans for your life. Amen. He actually does it when you're young. The devil like to trap young people's lives. He like to get them to get complexes in their lives. He like to let them go through things in their lives. Just send them up for their adulthood so he can use that. Amen. You know, he had that expectation for Brother Branham. The things that Brother Branham went through in life, being called all kind of names, half-breed, Indian, all sorts of names that they called him as a child. What actually the devil was doing that to persecute him, but the, all of that was used for him to become the person that he was, compassionate, understanding. God had to take him through that so he could sympathize with people. Amen. It's the same thing with Jesus Christ. You know, he had to be the faithful high priest that he is. He had to go through things and suffer himself so he could understand us when we come to him. That's just the way God do things. And a lot of times the things that we go through in our younghood life, we don't realize till we get adults and as we mature in the word, God permitted those things to happen there just so that he could have something he can have in your life to use for his ministry. Amen. That's not, and when I speak of ministry, that does not just necessarily mean being behind the pulpit. Because I believe every one of us has a ministry. Every one of us has something that God has called you for to be a help to the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, in the scripture that we're reading here, we see that Peter was in prison. But the thing that I like about the scripture, even though Peter was kept in prison, the scripture said, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And I believe that's the way it ought to be. When you hear somebody don't got into a trap, something done happened, something is going on, the main thing should start is prayer. Is that right? Peter sitting in prison, amen, and the believers got prayer going on, and by them praying, it caused things to happen. Amen. The Bible tells us that when Herod would have brought him forth, I want you to notice, the scripture said when Herod would have brought him forth, that means Herod had expectations. They had Peter sitting in the prison, but they had a lot of plans for Peter. The next day, they had a lot of plans prepared for the brother. And it said the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keeper before the door kept the prison. Amen. You know, it makes no difference how much the devil try to lock a believer in. They try to keep him bound. God got ways to get around it. Can we say praise the Lord? They got all that top-notch security, but God just slipped right in between them with an angel to set the brother free. I'm so thankful for that. Amen. And it says, and beheld, the angel of the Lord came unto him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side. Hey, I mean, when I read the scripture, I really kind of get excited because I can kind of see it. Peter's just sitting there, bound and in chains. There's no doubt in his mind he knows tomorrow is going to be a bad day. Amen. He knew that they had some plans for him. Amen. And then all of a sudden the angel just comes in there, light shines in the prison and just smote him on the side. Amen. But one thing about it, I believe even Peter, by him being in prison, what the devil had to do to Peter is get Peter's mind in that prison. Can we say praise the Lord? You know, sometimes you can be locked up, but don't be a part of what you're locked up in. Amen. Daniel was in Babylon, but Babylon was not in Daniel. Is that right? We're supposed to be in this world, but not of this world. Can we say amen? So, other words, we don't want to get a part of the circumstances that we're in. Don't let it get in your spirit. Peter was in prison, but that prison was not in him. Paul then was in prison, but the prison was not in him. Amen. That's just the way that it's supposed to be. We are in a Laodicean age. Is that right? We're also in a bride age. But don't let Laodicea, you in Laodicea, don't be in it. Don't be partakers of the things of this age. Is that right? Then the scripture just tells us here, and I just like this. It said, and behold, the angel of the Lord come upon him, and a light shined in the prison, smote Peter on the side, raised him up and saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hand. God don't need no key. Can we say amen? When you're bound in something, the devil got you locked in something, God don't need a key to get it unlocked. Can we say praise the Lord? I'm just looking at Peter, and when the angel come there, the chains just fell off. Let me tell you something. Sometimes you can be bound and trying to find your way out of it. Just get in the presence of God. Get in God's presence and recognize who you are. These things just fall off. Can we say praise the Lord? Amen. Amen. Can we get a little excited tonight? I'm excited. I know you might be second service, you're tired, you don't ache, but hey man, if you get a little sleepy, just stand up, shake it off. Can we say praise the Lord? We're in church tonight. Let's have some church. Amen. Amen. But you know how Burley Williams is. I don't need an amen to preach. I don't need it, but amen just helps you get out of service kind of quick. Because I might have to start plowing a little bit, and you know, I hope we ain't hiding nothing. Because the Holy Spirit will call it out. We know that. Amen. So I'm just trying to get us going. Amen. Because when you're locked down, I'm going to have to start plowing. And when you're plowing, you know, in the natural out there, you're plowing in the garden. All kind of stuff come up. You didn't even know what buried down in the sand. In the ground. I mean, all kind of stuff just start popping up. So when the Holy Ghost start plowing, stuff just start popping up. Now some of you just sitting back. Yeah, right. All right. There's no problem with me. Amen. I'm just trying to preach some deliverance tonight. I'm just letting you know the devil got expectation. The devil expecting you to go to sleep tonight. Won't you ruin that expectation and say, I'm not going to go to sleep. I'm going to listen to the word. He's expecting that. Praise the Lord. The devil expecting for some of you to sit there, hurry up, get it over with. Won't you ruin that expectation and say, no, it's over with when God says it's over with. The devil expecting some of you to say, hey, I got to go home. We don't have service already. The pastor ain't here. So you know how church people get. When the pastor ain't here, they act different. Let me tell you something. When the pastor ain't here, you still should act the same. You still should worship the same. Can we say praise the Lord? You know, people do things like that, which we shouldn't do things like that. This is not a pastor religion. This is still church, whether the pastor is here or not. We're still having church because the one we want here is Jesus Christ. Can we say praise the Lord? And I want you to notice here in the scripture, as we go on down in the scripture, it says here, and the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison, smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. The chains fell off his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird up thyself. Bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. I'm just really just going to read the scripture again. He went out and followed him and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Now, the verse I want to go back to is verse 11. In verse 11, it said when Peter was come to himself, he said, I know of a surety that the Lord sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Do you realize? Listen to what Peter's saying. Do you realize the next day they had plans? Could you just imagine all of the people that Peter done rebuked, done correct in the word, they just can't wait for tomorrow. I could just see some of them, oh, when tomorrow comes, I want to pick up the first stone. Hey, I remember that man, he rebuked my mama, he rebuked my daddy. I want to get the first stone. They can let me stone this man. I want to be the first one. This man don't talk about my mama, he don't talk about my daddy, he don't rebuke my pastor, he don't say all kind of stuff. I want to be the first one, amen, to do something to this man. They had great expectations. But I like what Peter said. He said, and the angel, he said, the Lord sent his angel, had delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectations. I know he didn't just say one expectation. He said, all of them. Because the devil always got plans for you and me. But I'm so thankful God would always come on the scene and ruin what the devil actually thought he'd have had you trapped. God come right on the scene and set you free and ruin the devil's expectation. I'm so thankful for a God like that. Can we say praise the Lord? We're talking about deliverance tonight. Sometimes things can look impossible. There's no way out of it. Don't make sense. And then you can strain your brain trying to figure it out. But then God just wants us to just rest. Trust in his word. Then he'll just come right on the scene. Amen. Sometimes God will let you get to the end of things before he even moves. Those are the things that we don't like. But God does sometimes let you get right to the end. Then he comes on the scene. Because he's testing our faith. Can we say praise the Lord? Turn with me if you will. Acts 16. We want to turn to Acts 16. How many of you believe in total deliverance tonight? I do not believe in halfway deliverance. I believe in total deliverance. I believe what God had done back then, he's doing the same thing now. Amen. I believe what he done in Brother Branham's life, he's doing the same thing now. And one of the biggest problems I do see around the message, many don't see Revelation 10:7 has been fulfilled. It's been fulfilled. Revelation 10:7 is now history. It's been fulfilled. But now we need to fulfill Revelation 10:8. Revelation 10:8 is for the bride. To take the book, eat the book, and go prophesy again. And it's a shame many can point back what happened in the prophet life. That's fine. But you got to see where you're at in prophecy. You got to see what you're supposed to be doing, what the book says about you. Can we say praise the Lord? That's what the message is all about. It's come to bring us into a union with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what the purpose was. Amen. Now I want you to notice, I believe in total deliverance. You know, the prophet of God preached a message, total deliverance. But God got so many different ways how he deliver us. He can deliver you through people. God can bring deliverance through an animal. He can bring deliverance through preaching. He got all different ways to bring you out of a bondage that you probably be in. He got ways of doing it. So it's not just one way that he do deliver it, but all of it is by God. Now, I want to talk about here. Let's go to Acts 16, verse 25. And so then at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. Now, I have to ask myself sometimes, if I was in prison, can I sing? This prison, see, what we got to understand, brothers and sisters, the prison that they're in is not like the prison today. Where you get a little 3-course meal. You can go out and play in the gym and do a little exercise. That ain't the type of prison they was in. The prison they was in, their legs and their arms were tied together. Big old rats running right across them. Cold dungeons. Water dripping. In other words, they cared nothing about their comfort. The devil wanted to make it the worst place, the worst atmosphere he can get it for them. Amen. You remember Micaiah? When they had them told him, put him in, lock him up, and then feed him bread of affliction. So they don't care about you living, they don't care about your health, they just, you're there, you're just a prisoner. Making it as miserable as they can make it. But Paul and them is sitting there, singing. Amen. And the scripture makes it plain, and the prisoners heard them. Now, the prisoners already in prison. They used to be in there. But now they're hearing Paul and Silas singing. They probably say, what's wrong with them? Singing. Do they realize we're in jail? We're in prison? And they sit here singing. What is wrong with them? But the thing of it was, they've been there so long, the prison is in them. But that prison wasn't in Paul. Can we say amen? It's just like sometimes, hey man, you might be going through something. And then, but you still come to church. Somebody know what you're going through. They might be going through something, but you come to church, you start singing and giving God praise. And they sitting there, what they singing for? They know they got some hard times. They going through something. What they singing for? Hey, they might be in a situation, but they ain't letting the situation get in them. They just keep on singing and keep on praising. Are you with me? Because you know a lot of time when people in prison, even in church, they want you to be in prison too. Hello? Because they're sad. They want you to be sad. But I don't go that route. You can be sad all you want to. I'm going to be happy in the Lord anyway. Because I know who I am, and that's just the way it got to be. Come on now, church. I think that plow coming out. I can hear it cranking up. Praise the Lord. How many of y'all ever used a garden plow before? You know, you fire that boy up and it start going. And then when that thing get the gun, you got to hold back on it sometimes. Let's keep it from digging too deep. Let me tell you right now, I ain't going to hold back. I'm just going to let it dig. Praise God. Now, I want you to watch and see the supernatural in this. When they were singing and praising God, the prisoners heard them. And the Bible says, suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. Lord have mercy. You're going to tell me singing and praising God could cause an earthquake? This is exactly what happened right here in the scripture. Because they're singing, giving God praise. Now, here comes an earthquake. Praise God. So you know, the devil had expectation for Paul and Silas also. Now watch the scripture. So that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands was loose. Now this earthquake is not an earthquake like we would think. An earthquake is none, you know, in California when they have an earthquake or over in the Philippines and different places when you hear about earthquake, you hear about stuff tearing up. Building 6.8 on the Richter scale, this falling down, roads warping up. We'd be like, oh, that's devastating. But this earthquake did not come to tear stuff up. This earthquake was specially designed to loose. Can we say amen? Here it is, the foundation of the prison shaking. It seemed like the building should have went down. But this earthquake was specially designed from God, and it said immediately all the doors was open and everyone's bands was loose. This earthquake caused a loosing, not a destroying. Y'all all right tonight? I tell you, I can just go back in my own mind and think about things God don't loose me from. When the devil has some great expectation, God has ruined that expectation. Can we say praise the Lord? Let me tell you something. It would have been now, 3 weeks ago, the devil had an expectation for my wife and my daughter. Some of y'all, I'm sure you don't even know about it. About 3 weeks ago, I almost lost my wife and my daughter. Both of them. The people can't even understand how they even come out of the wreck. I know how they come out of the wreck. It was the grace of God. The devil was expecting to wipe them out. But God had another plan. Can we say praise the Lord? If you want to see that truck, you would say, you know, some people say, man, if they wasn't in that truck, they would have been gone. You know, I don't quite agree with that one, but that's okay to say that. If it wasn't for God, they would have been gone. Because you know what? When it's time your time to go, you can be on the moped. You're done. If it's your time to go, it's your time to go. That's just the way that it goes. But the devil had an expectation for them. But you know what? It all been flipped around. They're still here. They're still alive. And I'm thankful to God. I give God honor for that. That God ruined that devil's expectation. Let's look back into the scripture. It says here, immediately, all the doors was open. And everyone's bands was loosened. Now here comes this earthquake, and the prisoners hearing Paul and them sing, and all of a sudden there goes a rumble. And I can imagine them sitting there, oh God, this building is fixing to come down. And there goes a rumble. And then all of a sudden, the door goes. And they're standing there, sitting there, because they actually, when they was in prison, it was like this. Their hands and feet were chained together. That's how they was in prison, with a big old board like this. And all of a sudden, here comes this earthquake. Then the door opens. And then all of a sudden, everything just falling off. They're expecting the building to come down, but the chains just fell off. Amen. Then they're standing there. And I can see them. What's going on? And they look at the scriptures. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep. Seeing the prison door was open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. The reason why this man done this, because in the Bible times, whenever you are over a prison ward, if the prisoner escaped, they kill you. Because you the one should have been watching and you let them go. So that's why he said, I'm done. I'm always go ahead and get this over with because it's going to happen anyway. But then listen to what Paul said. Paul cried with a loud voice saying, do thyself no harm. We are all here. Let me tell you something. God loosed the bands. God opened the doors. But he didn't make none of them walk out. That was their choice. God did not just say, okay, come on out now. Paul didn't go around, come on out, guys, you're free. Come on, come on, come on. Nope. That was their choice to walk out. When they seen the chains loose, doors open, now they got to take the steps and start walking out. Sometimes God makes a way of deliverance. It seems like people want God to beg them to walk out into freedom. God ain't going to do that. He's going to open all the pathway. He'll open all the doors and show that's the way out. Now you will have to walk out. But some people like to stay in bondage, yet freedom is there. Because they like attention. You know, some people just like attention for you to plead with them and beg with them and tell them that they can be free. They like just hearing you repeat it. But it never does no good until they walk out themselves. Can we say amen? See, some people have been locked up so long, when freedom is presented to them, it's shocking to them. They just think they're still stuck. Just like the story of Johnny Crow. How many of y'all remember the story of Johnny Crow? That little crow that was tied up all his life. Tied up. Try to fly. He'll try to fly. Stop. Try to fly. Stop. He kept doing it because they had his legs tied up. And then one day, somebody come and loosen him. All the other crows flying. Come on, Johnny Crow. You can fly now. But in his mind, see, he was still trapped in his mind. Thinking, I tried. I've been like this so long, it's no more loose to try. He was actually free. But in his mind, he was still trapped. And that's where so many people get messed up. Still trapped in the mind. But God has brought us a message of freedom, not bondage. This message done broke every door, every expectation that the devil had. When God brought this message, it loosed every bounds for us to be totally delivered and free. Praise the Lord. And then Paul cried with a loud voice, do thyself no harm. Then he called for a light. Sprang in, came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas. Here goes this man. I'm going to call this a light, a little lantern in his hand. That's what they use. He's coming in there trembling with a lantern in his hand. Looking around with the light. They're all there. Got something supernatural has just taken place. Not only were those prisoners free, but God caused their earthquake to set the prisoner guard free too. Look at the scripture, what it says. He brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And we see what Paul told him. I'm going to have to flip to it because I didn't copy that one down. Let me finish reading the scripture. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Those are some of the most simplest words that you could ever represent somebody to salvation. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we lived a lot of years. I might say something that might sound offensive, but I'm not trying to be offensive. We've been through the years. People say, what must I do to be saved? They say, believe God, Son, and Prophet. Believe God, Son, and Prophet. No. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we say praise the Lord? I tell you, brother and sister, I'm so thankful tonight. The message has come and set us free. Body, spirit, soul. When God brought us the message, the greatest battle ever fought, that wasn't just a message thought up. That was a message to show us when the battles started. And they start here. If we can't defeat them here, they will come and be manifested in our bodies. That's why we have to defeat them here. How are we going to defeat them? We have to defeat them with the word. You know, when you know who you are, you can't be defeated. But if you doubt who you are, you can be defeated. But when you actually know who you are, you cannot be defeated. Can we say praise the Lord? I hate to mention something carnal, but I have to do to try to make a point. I know y'all don't heard of this man, Mike Tyson. Just because you heard of him, that don't mean you watch TV. Some of you like me. Mike Tyson. One reason why that man didn't lose, because he knew who he was. I listened to some of the things he was saying on a YouTube channel. He had so much confidence. He said when he walked into the ring, once he looked in the person's eyes, if they can't stare at him straight, and if they keep doing like this, he said he already know he won. That's what he said. So he's already looking at a defeated opponent. By that being his guide that he uses by looking at the people, knowing that he won, he already goes in there a winner. Now, this was a man. One reason how he won, I ain't preaching on Mike Tyson, I'm just using an example. So don't go around and talk about brother preaching on Mike Tyson now. I'm just trying to give you something to power. One reason why this man would win, he would take hits. He didn't care about what was coming. He just didn't care. Because he just wanted to get close enough to the opponent to hit them. Lord, let me give me, I need a little fella. Come here, little fella. What's your name?
Lincoln.
Lincoln. Lincoln. Like a Lincoln Town Car. That's kind of Lincoln. Good name, Lincoln. You're going to be Mike Tyson. Okay? Now, what you're going to have to do, I'm just trying to show y'all something. Help some of you stay awake. That's all right? Amen. This is going to be Mike Tyson. I'm the big fella that he fights. See, one thing about that fella, he didn't care how big he was. It made no difference at all. He didn't shake and tremble, and some of them guys were way bigger than him. Now, this is what his style was. Now, Lincoln, I'm gonna pop you a couple, not real, not real. I'm gonna keep hitting you, and I just want you to keep coming. And then when you get close enough, you just swing one time. Don't hit me. you got me now. So all right. Now hope you don't just get caught up. Now this is Mike Tyson, and I'm the big guy. Now I'm just doing like this. See that? But if you notice, you can sit down. I just want you to see a visual. If you notice, what was hitting him is not his concern. But soon as he get close, whap, then that person back. Then he'll come up and then what he would do, the amount of time they hit him, they could hit him 20 times, but the one he hit them add up to their 20. So by him knowing who he was, he said, I just need to get close to get that one deadly swing, usually in the first round, and I can take it. See, here, what we do, we don't want no punches. Is that right? We don't want nothing getting close. Soon as it get close, we start getting nervous. Oh, God. Oh, no. You don't have to act like that. The devil's going to always throw punches. But when you know who you are, let him throw them. Let him throw them. You just keep walking straight, and then by the revelation of the word, then you go, wow. Hello? That's what Satan was doing to Jesus. He was throwing punches, man. He was throwing scripture. It wasn't weaker than Jesus. Then Jesus said, but it is also written. Wham! I think one place Brother Brandon said, he said Satan met some 1,000 bolts of lightning when he ran into Jesus Christ. It gave him the shock of his life. Satan like, whoo! Boy, I ain't ever had a blow like that. Ezekiel didn't do that to me. Jeremiah didn't do that to me. Phew! Who is this guy? It was Jesus Christ. Amen. Satan never ran into nothing like that. But that wasn't the deadly blow. Is that right? That deadly blow that the devil received was on Calvary. He thought that was a hit. But when it come to Calvary, that was the hit. Can we say amen? That's when he ruined all of Satan. Hey, you think Satan expected Jesus to come up out of that grave? No, sir. No, sir. If the devil would have had an idea what the resurrection would be, he wouldn't have wanted to kill Jesus. Amen. Because if it wasn't no shedding of blood, it would have been no remission of sin. If the devil knew that, he would have just let Jesus live long as he could let him live. But what he didn't understand, with the expectation, he didn't expect him to come out the grave. You know what? Satan didn't even expect Jesus to come to hell. But he did. Everything that the devil did not expect, now it was happening to him. Are y'all with me tonight? God ruining all of his expectations. Now, what about our lives? Think about something that could have happened to you. And then God just swooped right in, sometimes right at the end, like I said at the beginning, and ruined it all. The devil's expectation. You know, I go back in my own life when I was 12 years old, when I got killed. Not killed. My cousin got killed. We was on that moped. Y'all know my testimony. I go all the way back to that. The devil had an expectation for me. Satan said, because Satan knew this boy got a gift in his life. He going to cause me problem when he get older. Let me take care of him while he's young. But what he didn't realize, God turned all that around for where I am till today. To be able to preach what true deliverance is all about. What salvation is all about. I'm ruining the devil's expectation. Can we say praise the Lord? Let's go to another familiar scripture. And we'll let you go here. I hope this is encouraging to you tonight, because this is what was on my heart. We know the story of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Which that is not their real name. That's a Babylonian name that was given to them. We know in this story, I just love it, and I'll read it again, Daniel 3:16. It said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand. O king, listen how they're rewording this. They're telling him, we know God, he will deliver us. But then when they come back in verse 18, they say, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You know, Nebuchadnezzar didn't expect them to respond back that way. But they did. Listen to what he says. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, y'all know what that means, don't you? His face kind of wrinkled up pretty good. other words, extremely mad. I think some of y'all can kind of picture that, you know, when you get mad yourself. I ain't never seen nobody mad and smiling. Hello? I mean, you ever seen people mad, and their face just kind of start turning and moving? And then they don't got to say nothing to make you scared. You're just looking at them. I'm sure some of your children can say, amen. Because when daddy got mad at me one time, he didn't have to hit me with the belt. I just looked at his face. I said, whoa, daddy is mad. Oh, you know how we parents do? Oh, you little, come here right there. Poor child, put trauma in their lives. Look at that old plow. Have you ever argued with your wife and been smiling? Because some of us kind of a little more mature. No, dear. No. Then it keep going. No. Keep on going. Let me take this. I tell you, now y'all calling the plow. I'm trying to put this boy in the garage. You calling the plow. These things, we need to control these things. Can we say praise the Lord? These things need to be controlled. I mean, you know, you can traumatize a child and put something in their life when you kind of lose it a little too much. That can mess with that child's spirit. That's right. You get into a play that, leave it alone. Let's just go back to the scriptures. And he says here in the scriptures, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visit was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. So we see right now he has a real great expectation. I'm going to burn these boys. They're going to speak to me that way. I'm going to show them who king. I'm going to really set some fire on them now. And he's expecting them just to evaporate. But we see in this story, he commanded the most mighty man that was in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. You know, he didn't get none of his weak men. He got his mightiest man. And I believe that's what the devil has done in this age. Amen. Every demon that ever had it been loosed in this age. Do you realize, brother and sister, we deal with every spirit that came down from the age of Ephesus up to now. They're all compiled in this age. The same as those horse riders. All of them have come into one in this age. We got it all. So when the devil released everything that he had, he said, I am expecting to wipe these people out. But I'm so sorry, God has come in this age to ruin the devil's expectation by turning us back to let us know who we are in this age. We're not a defeated people. We're a victorious people. Is that right? And I just look into the scripture. Verse 21, then these men was bound in their coats, their hosens, their hats, and their other garments, and was cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the commandment of the king was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And these three men, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, fell bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. When they fell bound, they wasn't just falling down there crying. No, they just fell down in victory. But watch this rest of the scripture. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto the council, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, I see four men loose. Oh, God, the only thing that fire did for them was just to loose their chains. So think about the fiery trials you go through. They're not designed to bound you. They're designed to loose you. Loose you into what? To a higher realm of faith. Because the more you go through trials and God keep delivering you and deliver you, only thing them things do is just increases your faith. That's why sometimes we have to look back and reminisce on the same things that we've been through and see what God done. Because the devil wants us to forget some of the things that God already done. And I'm like, no, sometimes just go back to him. Lord, I remember. I can take you to a scripture over in the book of Psalms. That's what they did. The children of the fathers begin to talk to God. They said, we heard our fathers told us what you've done in their time. They told us how they did not get the land with their sword, with their spear. Our fathers told us that. And then they said, now God, have deliverance for Jacob. They reminded God what he already done. And then they brought it right back to present tense. Said, now Lord, this is what we need for you to do for us. Sometimes you have to go back to those times. Because I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, this is a message of freedom. The devil's expectation. The devil thought, just by creating the website, this Believe the Sign, and all of this garbage. His expectation was, he thought he was just going to wipe us out. And for us to doubt and say this message is not true. But by you being here now and don't experience some of that stuff, you ruin Satan's expectation. Satan's expectation. Oh, boy. I'm going to get me some of these smart Dathans and Korahs. I'm going to get them renowned man, very smart. I'm going to get them to dig and find faults. And when they put it up there, people are just going to lose all their confidence. Oh, what a website. Or should I say a web? Is that right? I began to read some of that stuff. And I'm like, ooh, wow. Okay. Can I answer that? No. Can I answer that? Nope. Do I understand that? Nope. But do I believe the message? Yep. I sure do. Because it ain't about what I can answer. It ain't about what I can explain. It's about what I believe. I don't need the pillar of cloud to prove to me the message is right. The word, the teaching is what caught me. The deliverance, the supernatural, or what it changed in my life. That's what caught my attention. That's what meant something to me. A thought just come in my mind. It's in the book of Ruth. Some of you already know this probably. But this thought come in my mind. When you go and read the book of Ruth, chapter 3, I believe it is. Let's just read it now. We'll close on this. This right here just really been a blessing to my soul. You know, when God has done something for you and showed you something personally and it's revealed to you, no one can snatch that from you. No one. I was preaching to my church this morning, well, God's church. I don't like to say my church because it's not mine. I was preaching this morning about Eve. If you look into the scripture when Eve was talking to the serpent, she was combating with the serpent by memory of what God said. Eve did not have a revelation of what God said. Because if she had a revelation, there would have been no way the serpent could have penetrated that revelation. So that's why I was saying, yea, and God said. See, the serpent inspired by the devil, when he began to talk, he reasoned with her with the scriptures, just through an intellectual way. Then he got her to see something in a different light, a false light. That's what broke her. So that's what the devil had tried to do through these years, to get you to just have a little slight doubt. If he can get that little slight doubt, now he can start wedging. So that's why you have to kill the doubt. Whoa, nope, nope. I can't explain it, but I believe it. God will get an understanding in due time and due season. I just love that about God. I read things in the message, I said, I just don't understand that. When I was a young Christian, I used to be discouraged because I thought you're supposed to understand everything you read. I don't even understand what a lot of stuff I read in the Bible. But you know what? I keep reading it. And then one day, could be 5 years later, a preacher couldn't just be preaching, then come and go, he like, oh, I've been reading that and there it goes right there. So what you need to do when you read the scripture, store it up in your hard drive. You know, in your computer, it's in your hard drive. And when you need it, it comes out. But store it in your hard drive. When God ready to inspire, it comes out. How many of you believe we're Ruth? Ruth types us. But we don't type Ruth. You can't type the bride because we're original. So there's no type. We are the bride. We're not a type. We are it. They're just types of us. Right? You know, Ruth, when she's going through stages in life, which we can actually preach the church ages and the seals right here in the book of Ruth, but we're not going to do that. But in the progress of Ruth's life, I just want to jump right here to Ruth chapter 3. It says in verse 6, she went down to the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. Praise the Lord. Sometimes your mother-in-law can tell you something good. That old plow. I'm my own self. I don't need no mother-in-law. I don't need no mama telling me nothing. This is my house. Sometimes mother-in-law can tell us some good stuff. Father-in-law too. You know what? This can only be one woman in the house. And one man. Everybody else in there, fall under suggestion. That's mama's kitchen. You know how mama say, my spoon. My knife, my plate, my cups. When she tell you put the dishes up, you put the forks here, spoons here, knife there, cups there. And the child be like, what difference does it make? It's in the kitchen. Then you decide one day, well, these days they ain't washing dishes, you're just unloading the dishwasher. And sometimes that's kind of hard for people to do. We're so spoiled. Load the dishwasher. And close it. Dishwasher stop, unload it. You know, usually when you don't want to do it, that's when you break cups. Yeah. Psh, then. See, the reason why you act like that anyway, because you don't have a revelation of what motherhood is going to be about, what womanhood is going to be about. You ain't reached that yet. Because if you know responsibility, she won't even have to ask you to load the dishwasher. you will do it. You just say, oh, yes, I got it, Mama. I got it. But no revelation. Your kitchen, it ain't mine anyway. Huh? But you know what? And then when you don't put the stuff where it's supposed to go, then the mama comes and say, go bring me daddy's favorite cup out of that thing right there. She, oh, the mama said, oh, I get it. The mama opened the cabinet, don't you? Where is that cup? What did you? I just felt like putting it over there. How can you feel like doing that there in your kitchen? See, that's the little bitty little rebellion stuck down in there. That I'm going to do what I want to do, regardless of what you say. See, that's where the seed laying right there. Praise the Lord. Then mama say, my kitchen, my dishes. Then you say, you wash them. Ooh. It don't work that way. Because you know what? It ain't your bedroom. It ain't your house. That's not your light switch. It's not. That's not your window. It's my window. It's my house. It's my light switch. You just privileged to stay there. See, the younger generation feel like we owe them. I didn't ask to be here. So, you take care of me. I didn't ask for this. That's the way the generations are getting now. Like we owe them. No. Now, what I owe you when you talk like that, you don't want it. I'm so I owe you. Yeah. Okay, let me give you what I owe you right now. No. Yeah. You know, my grandson, he's 9 years old. Don't tell me children don't listen in church. They do. But they take what benefits them. My grandson, 9 years old, he got in trouble. And my daughter would get ready to pass judgment. And he said, Mama, I'm a sinner. He said, that's what sinners do. I'm a sinner, Mama. This just happened. And she's like, she said, but you ain't always got to be a sinner. See, then the Bible also said, if you spat a rod, you spoil the child. Now, come here. You quote your scripture, and I quoted mine. That's bad, man. 9 years old, and you tell me they don't listen in church. They pick up everything that they need to know. I tell you, my son used to get me good, man. Jamarz, don't pick at him if you see him. But he was a scholar. That boy was a Bible scholar. One time he got something, he done something, man, I had to get him. I just had to get him. When I come to him, he seen me coming. That dude just said, mercy! Oh, daddy, mercy! 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 He said it so sincere to Ajay. Now, what's going on in my mind? If you show no mercy, you receive no mercy. I'm just like, I'm confused, man. I'm like, this boy is good. Is this genuine or are he just trying to get out of trouble? That's what is working right now. And then all of a sudden I just said, whoa, buddy, you have spurned mercy. Come here. Because if I let him get by with that one time, he'll do it again. Every time I do mercy, then it'll get less and less sincere. I go, you got mercy? See? But today, I don't want to hurt my children. don't want to, them to go through what I went through and the things that. I'm bound with this one, though. I need to be loose. I'll deal with it. But you see, these things, if you go through the church age book, when Brother Branham talked about the chastening, how God chastened the church, chastened the people, he said it's discipline, but it's not punishment. He said because the one that is doing the discipline have to have in his mind the person that he's disciplining, their betterment, to make them better, not worse. That's what true correction is. You're doing it because you want them to see them go higher, not down. And children have to understand that. My parent is not trying to kill me, hinder me, block me. They're trying to help me. See, you have to have the right focus on it. Because if it don't, it's just going to be messed up. And the only thing going to happen is rebellion. As it keep going, more rebellious, more rebellious, more rebellious. It shouldn't be that way. How many of you ever had God discipline you? Did you get mad at him? No. Why didn't you get mad at him? Because you know he's a loving father. And he done it because he loves you. The children should feel the same way when we discipline them. A little baby teaches us more about discipline than teenagers. You spank a little baby, they cry, and they come right back to you, and they grab you. They don't just hold that grudge. Now, teenager, couple of days, walk in the house. Thing that get me, they mad at you, but they still in your kitchen in your refrigerator. Y'all make the plow just start digging. I want to get this over with quick, but it's happening. I'm telling you, these things are serious. I'm going to tell you, the damage that happened in younghood lives, as we grow, it really takes the Holy Spirit to kill it. If you don't let the Holy Spirit kill some of the past things in your life, you're going to bring it on your children. That's why we have to kill it. See, I was a terrible father. And one reason why, I had no father. My children suffered because I never had a father to raise me, and I didn't know how to be one. And my children suffered. Because all I knew was judgment. All I knew, you do wrong, come here. Like, get on your room. That's all I knew. But it was mentally hurting them. But as I began to grow in the Word, I said, whoa. That ain't right. I need to change this stuff. Especially when I hear the prophet start talking about when the children get to a certain age, you have to think their thoughts when you were that age. Then you can understand actually what they're going through and you can deal with it. See, everything we need is in the message. It's there. But we're going to have to humble ourselves to it. Because, you know, in family life, A man is very protective of his daughter. And then the mama is very protective of her son. Come on now. So sometimes it causes a little problem. Daughter be doing something, and the mama, what are you doing? And she look at daddy. Then daddy said, it's okay. And the wife like, you don't see this? You do not see what she's doing? He said, why? I mean, come on. And then when the boy do something, come here. And mama be like, can I talk to you a minute? What? Me and him talk about some things, and he going through some things. Yeah, he going through some things. And children know that. They know it. They study it. And they watch it. You know, little children are getting amongst each other when they want to ask for something. And they want something. What they'll do, they'll pick the favorite child. And they'll be like, and they think they be, and when they real little, they just can't hide. They be like, and think they whispering, you listening right to them. And then the little girl, okay. And then they smart. Daddy, they told me to ask you, can we get that candy? And they be like, you know what that is? That's children politics. That's what it is. And they cause their, especially when there's no unity between mom and dad. Oh, they use that to their advantage. I know what daddy like. I know what mama like. I know what he'll say. Oh, yeah, we got this. And then they work their way around it. That's why myself, when I dealt with my children as I matured, I treat them all the same. And I let the word, whatever the word say, not my feelings, whatever the word say, that was the rule. Amen. Because my daughter Becky, she know how to get things out of me. And I have to watch that. I'm just being honest. You know, Apa means father, and I can't remember what language. She go, Apa, whenever she say that, she going to ask me for something. She wants something. So when she go, Apa, I put the guard up. I am not giving in to that baby. I'm not doing my baby girl. I'm not going to let her. But she know if it's due, it's due. If it ain't, it ain't. I keep it balanced. See, these little things, it cause a lot. The devil gets in there and stir up a lot of stuff. And have a lot of expectations to do to a family. Y'all know I've been preaching too long. It is 6:45. Is that right? That can't be right. That's right. That is right. Can I just read this scripture though? I tried to keep that John Deere plow in the garage, man. But I'll read this and let me close. In Ruth chapter 3. Verse 6, she went down into the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. With Boaz has eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry. He went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. At the end of you, and go to verse 11, he said, now my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest from all the city of my people. Those know that thou art a virtuous woman. And I know it is true that I am near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that I will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman. What Boaz is actually doing, he's revealing to Ruth what he's actually going to do. And what is happening, we'll actually read in Revelation chapter 5. This is the time for now the kinsman to present what he's going to do to show how he's going to do a purchase. We'll read in Revelation chapter 5. But now, when he don't explain to Ruth what he's going to do, it does something to Ruth by hearing what Boaz was going to do. And then watch verse 16. It said, and when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. Notice when Boaz asked Ruth who she was, she said, I'm Ruth. But now her mama said, who art thou? She couldn't identify herself as Ruth. She could only tell what the man. Listen to what the scripture said. She told her mother, she told her all that the man had done to her. She's so illuminated now, her name don't matter. She said, this is what the man has done. So when it comes to the message, I can only tell you what it done for me. That's where my stand is. Regardless of what I can't understand, I can only tell you. Somebody say, who are you? Are you Burley Williams? Do you go to Peniel Tabernacle? I said, no. I am a son of God. And I have a revelation of this message. Let me just tell you what it done for me. So when people try to say, hey, this is this. I said, whoa, I got a testimony. I can tell you what it done for me. And can't nobody take that from me, what it's done for me. Can we give the Lord a hand? God bless you. Musician. I don't know who's supposed to close out. 6:49. Oh, that was just an hour and 20 minutes. I thought I had y'all in here 2 hours. I feel bad because I read in a little. Brother Barry got a little note on his desk on a little picture. It said the differentiation. What is the difference from a hostage and a long sermon? I think this. So that was kind of sticking in my mind. I don't want you to feel like you held hostage. But I trust these simple little things spoke to somebody's heart. I trust that because I tell you, I just come in here with this on my heart, not trying to premeditate nothing. But let God have his freedom. I'm trying to figure out why Brother Barry got that rope right there. I hope that's a prop. Amen. Bad sheepy. God bless you. Come on, brother.
How many enjoyed the word this evening? Amen. Let's just stand. Let's sing that song, Something Keeps Holding Me. The trials of this world was getting closer, and the pull I felt was more than I could bear. And I was on the verge of giving up. Guiding me.
something keeps holding me. Every day I see He's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials. Oh, He's guiding me constantly, giving me victory. Oh, and He's a reality. Something keeps holding me. Let's sing this again. Oh, and now the stakes are laid before me. His temptation to steal away my faith. Oh, no, but I have found in time the revelation, the strength I need to keep me in His grace. Just sing it with all you got now. Oh, something keeps holding me. Oh, and now every day I see He's helping me faithfully to overcome my trial. Oh, and now He's guiding me constantly. Something keeps holding me. Amen. A couple of announcements before we go, because I don't want to hold you guys any longer. So just remember, there is no service this Wednesday night. And also just remember to pray for those who are coming back from Israel this Friday. So just keep them in your prayers that God will give them safe travels. So, Brother Ben, if you would, just come and lead us in prayer and dismiss us.
Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, it was truly an honor to be in Your house today, Father, and we just thank You, Lord, for the ministry that came through. Lord, we just ask tonight that You'll give Brother Burley a special blessing, Father, Lord, that You'll give him his strength back, Father, and Lord, that You will just let him know that we were touched here tonight, Father, and we just appreciate, Father, him setting himself aside so that he could be used, and Lord, we just appreciate that. And Father, as we leave here tonight, Lord, we just ask that we will continue, Father, to think on the words that were said tonight, Father, and the words that were said this morning. Lord, that You will continue to help us to be closer to You. Lord, that's really truly our desire, Father, is just to be closer to You. We ask that You bless those that are traveling home, Father. Give everyone safe traveling mercies. Lord, we ask that You'll be with Brother Barry, Sister Becky, those that are in Israel, Father. We ask that You'll give them safe traveling mercies as they come home this week. We ask it all in Your name, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
As you're dismissed this evening, let's sing that song, We Are the Generation. Just remember, and just something that stuck out to me in service this evening was, if you know who you are, you cannot be defeated. So just keep that in mind, because we are the generation. We're the ones who are going to see the end of this. So just remember that, all right? Just remember that. Well, we are the generation. We're the culmination, the final voice the world will hear. The coming of the Lord is near, living out the rest. to every tongue and nation. We are the chosen generation. Oh, we are the generation. We're the culmination, the final voice the world will hear. The coming of the Lord. Every tongue and nation. Oh, we are the chosen generation.
As you dismiss now.
And we are the generation.